happened to the preacher? Used to preach so strong. What happened to the singers? Used to sing that song. Preachers out selling Amway. The singers now singing country. They sold out what is right for what is wrong. Now what happened to the church that used to be on fire? What happened to all the voices that sang in that heavenly choir? The church is now grown dead and cold. Choir silent, cause nobody knows. They sold out to the world their own desire. Oh, but this heart belongs to Jesus. Yes, he saved my soul from hell. This heart belongs to Jesus. This heart I'm saved. I'm not the same. Called a few months ago. Girl, with your talent, you can make a lot of dough. Thanks for your offer. That all sounds swell. I belong to Jesus, and I'm just not for sale. I'm not for sale.
Bibles want to turn with us over in Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter this morning. Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter. Amen. I was talking to my brother-in-law, sister-in-law yesterday, and was telling about her granddad when he died. He died with his hand on his pocket right here. Found him face down with his hand right there. And he said that he must have had a massive heart attack, and he was reaching for his nitroglycerin pills that's in his pocket here. and he died before he could get them out. And I thought about that this morning. How many people has died with sin in their hand, and they died before they could get it out? They died by holding on to some junk, some hard feeling, some crazy, stupid stuff. And they died before they could release it and let it go. That didn't cost you nothing this morning. I felt like saying that today. Look at the one next to you and ask them, where are you headed? Where are you headed? Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter and verse number 13. Very familiar scriptures. He says, enter ye in at the strait, which means narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And what's that word? Many there be which go in thereat. Because strait or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And what's that word? Few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Let us pray this morning. Father, we thank you for the word today. Lord, I ask, Father, that you would touch our hearts and our minds today. God, if there's some adjustment that we need to make in our life, if we need to change direction to get on this narrow way, Father, I pray, God, today we would not leave this place until we do. And Father, we just love you today and we praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is talking about two ways or two roads today. In fact, he's saying that's only the way. There's only two roads today. And in this building this morning, every one of us is on one of the two roads that were just mentioned here. Either we're on, and you know who you are. You know which road you're on today. I'm not here to try to tell you which road you're on. It's none of my business. My business is to tell you and to warn you if you're going the wrong way to turn around. Amen. I'm nothing more than a road sign standing before you and saying, turn around if you're going the wrong way. Amen. But you know this morning, you know where you live. You know what road you're on today. Amen. Two roads. The Bible talks about two roads all through the Bible, whether it's good or evil, whether it's heaven or hell, whether it's heaven and eventually the new earth and the new heavens, or the hell, eventually the lake of fire. Amen. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There is no middle road, no middle ground this morning. There's no third road. You're either on the straight and narrow or the broad road. Amen. And you know which one it is. This morning, either you have a hopeless end, which is the broad road, a hopeless end. Or this morning, if you're on a narrow way, you have an endless hope. And I've got an endless hope. Amen. I'm not headed to that hopeless end. Amen. And if you're on that broad road this morning, you're headed to a hopeless end. But this morning you've come to a place that you can get unto a place of an endless hope. Amen. And that's what I want to be today. The Bible talks about the end of these two roads in Ezekiel and Isaiah. The very last scripture in each book tells us the very end of the two roads. Ezekiel in the 48th chapter in verse 35, he says, and it was around about 18,000 measures, and the name of that city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. That's the narrow way. At the end of the road, the Lord is going to be there waiting on us. Amen. At the end of that road of the narrow way, the Lord is going to be there. But on the other hand, the broad road has an end too. And Isaiah, the last verse of Isaiah addresses it. And he says, "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring, as hated unto all flesh." Amen. That's the end of the broad road. Now, which road you're on today? You got something to look forward to on both roads today. Amen. Both roads this morning lead somewhere. It's going to lead. It says it leadeth to destruction, or it leadeth to life. Leadeth means to take off. It denotes separation. To have life on the narrow road, it denotes that we must separate from the world. We must come out from among them and be separate. That's what the narrow road represents when it says leadeth to take off, to separate. On the other hand, the broad road, when it says it leadeth unto destruction, leadeth to, it means that you're separated from something, and that is God. You must separate yourself from God to go to hell. Amen. On the broad road is living separate from God. And it says about the broad road that it leads to destruction. Destruction means ruin or loss, and that is physical, spiritual, and eternal. I see some people on the broad road that they lose their health, and they lose their marriages, and they lose their finance. Amen. They just go down, down, down. They lose their spirituality, and they lose out for eternity. It means to perish, if you will. And the Bible says about the ones that's going to destruction that many that goes that direction today. So if you're flowing and running with the crowd, you better stop and think just a little bit. Amen. That's why I don't get discouraged if there's only a few at church, because I know it's only a few going. Amen. Come on. I'm not after the multitudes, because most of the time the multitudes is not who I want to be running with. Amen. Not the many. Though I love souls and I love the people to come and hear the word of God. Many means abundant or mostly. He said most of the people will end up in destruction, because most of the people is on the broad road. They don't want to humble themselves to the narrow road. The strictness of the narrow road. Look at the broad way for a minute. Think about Broadway. Where have I heard that word before? It goes in connection with Hollywood, doesn't it? Doesn't Hollywood kind of form lives? And come on, when you start seeing it coming out of California, Hollywood, through the big screen and on your television, you know, and it won't be long, it's in your children. Come on. It's the broad road. It's Hollywood. That's what they're out. A bunch of liberals out there, and they're trying to indoctrinate your children and in your life even. They're wide. Broadway means wide and spacious. In other words, anything goes, or everything goes on this Broadway. Amen. If it feels good, do it on this Broadway. No restraint. Plenty of space to do anything you want to do on this Broadway. Amen. Nothing wrong with nothing. It's wide. It's a broad way. But look who is influencing this broad way. In Revelation in the 12th chapter in verse number 9. He says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now you got to understand, this is a parenthetical statement in Revelation that goes back. Parenthetical means it's kind of put in the middle there and to explain something to the brain to understand where he came from. But this is the time when Satan went up, when he was Lucifer, and he went up to take over the throne of God. Only God with his finger booted him out. That's why Jesus said in Luke in the 10th chapter, he said, "I beheld Satan as fire fall from heaven." Amen. Like lightning. He was kicked out when he went up there to take over. Amen. And it was kicked out to this earth. And I don't have time to go into it, but for millions of years or thousands, nobody knows how long, from Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2. It's called the fall there, and God had to remake everything over again. Amen. But we see that he laid in chaos and darkness all those years. Amen. Until man came along and he began to say, hey, I can use their bodies and I can influence their life and I can accomplish what I want to do. See, not one, all those millions of years, not one beer joint was put up. Not one can of beer was made. Not one bit of pornography was out there. Amen. Not one abortion house was made until man came along. And this Satan here, this devil that was booted out, began to deceive man. Amen. And to influence and entice them to do anything contrary to what God is. That's his job. He don't like God and he wants to do anything because you're a creation of God and he wants to drag you into hell. He wants to cut you down and he wants to influence you to do contrary to what God would have you to do. Every person in this room today has a purpose by God. You have a mission for God, but it's the devil's job to take and try to talk you out of it, amen, because he's miserable. And if you know anything about misery, it loves company, and he's going to the lake of fire, and he wants to carry as many as he can with him, and he's created this broad way that anything goes. Amen. He says that he goes to deceive. Deceive means to roam from safety. To roam from the truth. Boy, it's in the church world today, isn't it? To roam from virtue. It means to seduce out of the way. The way. There's only one way. John in the 8th chapter in verse 44, it says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. It's not your lust, it's his lust. And he's trying to use your body to fulfill his lust. And people, I mean multitudes are going along with it. It's a spiritual thing. Look at the one next to you and say, it's a spiritual thing. When you hear on the news, my friend, of people that has lost everything because of drugs, it's a spiritual thing. When you hear on the news where someone has taken and killed their children, it's a spiritual thing. When you hear of violence and all kind of evil and rapists, come on, it's a spiritual thing. They're fulfilling the lust of their father. That's what Satan wants them to do, because he hates holiness and he hates righteousness. And he hates the creation God has. I'm telling you, Satan hates it when you become successful in God. He hates it, but it ain't nothing he can do about it. Come on. Amen. Don't play into his hands. Don't play into his hands. Listen. Ephesians 2 and 3. He's talking to the Christians here, because at one time, all of us in this room, Satan was our father. Every one of us in here today, at one time Satan was our father and we was fulfilling his lust. Don't you tell me you didn't, because every one of us in here did. Amen. But that old man died, didn't he? And a new man, Jesus Christ, resurrected in us. Ain't that a good feeling? Listen. So he's looking back here, he's reflected, he says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. I told you it's a spiritual thing. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had back then our conversation in time past, and the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we was all there at one time, but thank God, look, we are an example that God can bring us out. Amen. We was all on that broad road headed to destruction. But you see, we've switched roads. We're on the straight and narrow now. And where does that lead? It leads all the way to life. Amen. Life. John 10 and 10 said, the thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus turned around and said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. I'll take life any day. Genesis, all the way back in Genesis in the 6th chapter and verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You said, brother, that's back in Genesis, but that sounds like today, don't it? Well, Jesus told it. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. That's in the days of Noah right there in the 6th chapter. Noah found grace with God. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man. The times of Sodom and Gomorrah will be like that. Amen. We see Sodom and Gomorrah where the homosexuals is just everywhere, even in our Congress and Senate up there. Amen. But we see even in some church pulpit, well, so-called church pulpit. No church. Church is a body of Christ. They ain't no body of Christ. You can tell them I said so. Amen. Amen. What was they doing in Noah's time? They was married and giving in marriage, and they was, going to and fro. They was buying and selling. I mean, they was living life to the fullest. They were living it up. No time for God. Living it up. Come on. We can't get enough. We get that car, we want another one. We get that house, we want another one. We get that piece of furniture, we want another one. Come on. Come on. Can't get enough. They even run commercials. Can't get enough of them sugar crisp. Sugar crisp. Help us, Lord. The end of the road, of the broad road, is a road that leads to destruction. And Revelation of the 20th chapter and verse 15 says it. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's pretty simple. I mean, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand that. In other words, the narrow way will get your name in the book of life. But if you're not on the narrow way, the only other choice is the broad way, and you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I don't know how you can get anything else out of that. That's where people will come to themselves. When they on this broad road and they're living it up and they're thinking they're good and thinking everything's all right and ain't got time for God. And then they find themselves in hell and they come to themselves. It's kind of like, people, we are the most intellectual and smartest creation God has on this earth. We tame the animals. Amen? Come on. We're put here and given dominion over all creatures upon this earth. In other words, he put us here and told us to occupy till he return. I mean, man should be brilliant because we're made in the image of God. But boy, we do some of the stupidest things, don't we? I mean, look at the prodigal son. He left the father's house where he was being fed every day, taken care of, the best of clothes, the best of everything. And he left it and went up there to this riotous living in Luke's 15th chapter. You'll read it when you get home. And he stayed out there till he lost everything that the father had given him. Come on. There's people out there in sin today and they're losing their health. They're losing their sanity. They're losing whatever God had blessed them with and losing it out there in the world. And he stayed out there till he was over in the hog pen. That's about as low as you can get. In a hog pen feeding a bunch of hogs and wishing he could eat them husk. That's right. He was that hungry. And the Bible said he came to himself. I imagine that he's glad that he came to himself when he did. I'm glad that I came to myself when I did. I'm telling you, there's some people maybe on their deathbed come to themselves. But let me tell you, there's multitudes that don't come to themselves until they're burning in the flames like the rich man in Luke's gospel, the 16th chapter. He came to himself. Jonah was all the way down in the whale's belly, wasn't he not? I mean, man's supposed to be so intelligent, but we'll hold on to junk. And we keep going on and on and on and on and on till you've done lost everything. And then we want to turn to God. Well, if you're still breathing, good. But what if you're not? First Peter in the 4th chapter. Verse number 17, he says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Listen to this very close. For if the righteous, everybody say righteous. Righteous. Look at the one next to you and say, are you righteous? If the righteous scarcely be saved. I mean, where's these preachers get you live in the kind of way you want to and sin a little bit every day? Where'd they get that junk from? I'll tell you where they get it from, their false prophets. And the Bible said, he said, beware of false teachers and false preachers and false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. They're telling you lies. I tell you what, you'll never stand before God and point to this man right here and say, he did not tell me the truth. He did not warn me. Come on, I'm warning you every time I get up here. You might hear me over and over like a broke record, but I'm warning you, I'm warning you, I'm warning you. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Righteous. We know what righteous is. That is doing right in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of man. He said, if the righteous scarcely, what is scarcely? Scarcely means with difficulty, with much work. It means hardly or barely be saved. If the righteous just barely be saved. Where's the sinner? Where's the ungodly in the sinner? Where's the lukewarm? Where's the cold and indifferent? Where's those that's playing church gonna appear? I mean, if the ones that is hot for God, that's doing everything they can, that's working day and night, and come on, if we just barely make it in. Glory. Proverbs in the 16th chapter, verse 25. He said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You better make sure. You better check up. See, there's many good people that's walking around on this earth, and they're actually good, decent human beings. Good people. Probably better than some in the church. That'll end up in hell. There's some people crying out in hell that's actually lived on this earth and tried to do good all their life. That'd be a shame, wouldn't it? You say, well, brother, they did good. They ought to go to heaven. No, that's not the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Well, brother, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, the devils believe and tremble. But have you accepted him and do you follow him? He says, people are sitting in churches thinking that they're right. He said, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. John 5:39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You better get in there and study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study, check it out. Make sure that you're right. Something as important as eternity, my friend, we better make sure we get it right. Amen. Mark's Gospel in the 8th chapter, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, listen, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. I ask you a question today. Does church people do this today? Do they come after him Do they deny themselves? Do they take up his cross and follow him? Amen. That is your calling. Whatever he has called you to do. Do you do it? Look at the one next to you and ask him, do you? Do you go after him? Do you deny yourself? Brother, I came in a while ago and Brother Steve was talking up here about people working overtime. And boy, I tell you, people get excited about that, don't they? Oh, God, yeah, I'll work it. Anything you got, I'll work it. Yes, sir, Mr. Bossman, I'll work at overtime. I'll get that money. What, preacher? You want me to do that? Well, I would. I'd love to, but I just don't have time. Where are our priorities? I have preached. Oh, Lord, I don't know how many funerals. And I have not seen one armored car follow that hearse. Naked I came into this world and naked I shall go out. I mean, when somebody's on their deathbed and they're dying and they're thinking back over their life, and I know here's what they'll say. I wish I'd have got about 40 more hours overtime in. I wish I'd painted my house about two more times through my life. Huh? I wish I'd went fishing three more times. Oh, God. I wish I went shopping at the mall about 10 more times. I don't think we're thinking none of those things. I think we say, God, I wished I had done more for you. Lord, I wished I'd have done more. I wished I would have took that class and taught, God. I wished I would have helped more people and pointed them towards you, God. Every one of us would say it. Am I telling you the truth? Whosoever will come after me, you got to do this. You got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross and follow him. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Or what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall it give in exchange for his soul? When if you die lost, listen. I mean, there's people out there that don't have time for God. I mean, God is like a second song to them, a spare tire in the trunk. And whenever they got time, they will. I'll go whenever I get time. I'll do what Brother Dave, whenever I get time, I'll come to church. And if I don't have time, just stay out of my business. No problemo. I'll stay right out of your business. But when you come in here, it's my business. And I'm going to tell you every time. I'm going to keep telling you every time. I ain't going to stay on your doorstep and hound you and call you. Look, but I'm going to tell you when you come here. I didn't make you come here to hear it. But listen, be nice, Brother David. He said, what shall you give in exchange? If you die lost, you're going before the white throne judgment. And he said, what are you going to be standing there to give in exchange? You naked, you came in, naked, you going out. You won't have nothing but you. What can you exchange for your soul then? It won't even be your flesh. It'll be you there. Full conscience. Can't hide behind flesh. See, we hide behind flesh now. I can't tell what's going in your heart. I don't know what you're thinking right now. I don't know what you're perceiving in your heart right now. But that day, my friend, I look at you and you look at me and we know one another. Because we'll be naked from flesh, but we hide behind flesh now. Hide behind flesh. You don't know who I am and I don't know who you are. But we're hiding in flesh. All I can see is peeping out these little windows. Help us, Lord. Listen. Jeremiah 6:16. Listen. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. And what's that next word? And what? Ask for the old paths. He's given some wisdom here. He said, ask for the old paths and ask, where is the good way? And then he said, when you find it, he said, walk therein and you shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's wisdom from God. But say, we will not walk therein. So what did he do? He sent some preachers. Listen. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Oh, hard-headed church people. About as hard-headed as the preacher. Amen. Don't get your feelings all hurt now this morning. Come in here. Come on. Therefore, hear ye nations, listen. Because they say, we'll not walk in them, we'll not hearken, listen. Well, therefore, hear this, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. That's sad, isn't it? Huh. Now I want you to think about it. What we've covered here. We've covered two roads, the broad road and the narrow road, right? On the broad road, there's many that go to destruction. Many, right? Many. That means abundant. That means mostly. But on the narrow road, we find that he said, few that find it, right? Few means puny in number. Very small. It means slight. It means little. That find it. That obtain, that perceive, that see it, that actually get it. There's only a few people that come to church that gets it. Huh? Look at the one next to you. Hold it like this. Do you get it? I mean, some people look at, when you preach it, they look at you like a calf in a new gate. What's he talking about? I can understand if you're new in the Lord. Just keep coming. It's like a giant puzzle. Man, you put one piece down there and say, this don't make a bit of sense. And you get another one over here, that don't make a bit of sense, a bit of sense, a bit of sense. But after a while, whoa, that thing's pretty, isn't it? After a while, everybody say, after a while. That thing goes, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? When you first started coming, man, when I first got saved, I opened this book, I'd raised in church. I said, oh my Lord, this don't make no sense to me at all. But boy, this thing's coming together now. That's why you got to, you know, said last Sunday when we first started, the scripture I took text in was 1 Corinthians 9:24. He's talking about running in a race. Did he not say that? In the very end of that scripture, it says, so run ye that ye may obtain. That you might find it. Don't give up. Keep running. That you might find it. He said, look, few that find it. It's only few that find it. Only few that get it. Keep running that you get it. I'm going to keep going till I get it. Brother David, I don't understand it, but I'm going to keep coming till I get it. Let me give you a little wisdom here. You can't just get it on Sunday morning. Ain't enough here. I ain't that good at explaining things. It takes coming on Wednesday night when Brother Brandon was up here talking about that peace, amen. That peace Wednesday night that he was talking to us about, amen. That peace that passeth all understanding. Come on, in the middle of the night or a middle situation when you don't understand what's going on, amen. When the hurricane is all the way around, you're in the eye of the... Oh, I'm the apple of his eye. And I'm in the middle where there's peace and calm. When the world is going crazy around me, I'm in perfect peace. Woo! Man, I remember when Hugo came through. Brother Brandon said he was young. It's amazing. You get talking to these Brother Mike and Sister and Brother Brandon and all of them, you know, the great men and women of God, you know, you get talking to them. And I say, you remember back in, you know, in the 70s or something? They say, well, I wasn't born then. So, that blows my mind, you know. But I remember I was at work out at Alumax. Man, all of a sudden, That thing hit that big old building that's half mile long. Them pot lines is about four buildings half mile long. It hit on one side and them pot lines. Boom! And buddy, they had these vent doors down and water was squirting through them. Like this right here. I mean, it was something to behold. And it blew that way for a while. And all of a sudden, it was nothing. Not a leaf blow. I went outside and looked at the stars. I was in the eye. I mean, not even, it was so still and so quiet. I looked up and I could see the stars shining. Huh? But let me tell you, there's all hail that way and all hail that way and all hail that way and all hail that way going on. But boy, I was right there. You understand what I'm talking about? The narrow road. Come on. So we got ready because we knew the other side was going to come back in a few minutes. And on the other side, it came back. Boom! And it blew like crazy for a while then. You say, well, Brother Dave, how can we get in the eye and through all this here on each side? Well, without God, you're in that. All you got to do is step over into the eye. Come on. On the broad road, there's destruction and there's chaos and all kind of problems. All you need to do is step over in the eye. I mean, that's the simplest thing in the world to do. That didn't cost you nothing either. I kind of threw that in there, Brother Brandon. Listen. Look at the one next to you. He said, Brother Dave's fixing to give us some scary stuff here right now. I want you to listen. Now, if you hadn't heard anything else that I've said, I want you to listen to this right here. I want you to get it good right here now. Just get it good. Over in Daniel in the 7th chapter, in verse number 9, he says, I beheld. Now, what he's talking about, he's talking here about all the kingdoms that's on earth. From Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. You know, Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision and he saw this image, a head of gold and chest of brass and silver, and then the loins of brass, legs of iron and clay, and feet iron and clay mixed. Legs of iron and feet of iron and clay mixed. Iron is strong, clay is weak. He's talking about nations, be some strong, some weak. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom came and fell. We learn it in school. The silver is the Medo-Persian. It's inferior to gold. Medo-Persian Empire. It came and fell. The Roman Empire came and fell. And down at the feet and toes, 10 toes, is the only thing left of this image. We get to the end of this thing. And that is the revised Roman Empire, made of 10 countries, part strong and part weak. When Antichrist stands up, he'll knock the weak ones down quick. It's a different story. But listen, he's talking about this in the thrones in a different vision where he saw the bear and the lion and the leopard. Leopard is the Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great. Fast. Y'all studied Alexander the Great, didn't you? You didn't know he was in the Bible, did you? A long time before Alexander the Great was ever born, God wrote about it. Listen. He says, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hairs of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Verse 10, listen. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. How many is a thousand thousands? 1 million. Everybody say 1 million. 1 million. Ministered unto him. In other words, they are the saints of the Lord. They're the ones that was on the narrow way. The few that be that find it. The righteous, the scarcely be saved. That's the million represented here by this number. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. How many is 10,000 times 10,000? 100 million. 100 million. That's representative of the Broadway. And many there be that go therein that leads to destruction. Many. Listen. The last part, listen. The judgment was set and the books were opened. The only place in the entire Bible I can find where there's a judgment and some books are open is in Revelation, the 20th chapter, at the white throne judgment. That is the judgment of sinners, people who walked the broad way and never got on the narrow. When they died, they went to hell. Death and hell delivered them up, and they came before the white throne judgment. That's the only place. So what he's talking about is here. The end of getting to the end of the broad road. You must go through the white throne judgment, judgment of sinners. And then you'll be cast into the lake which burns with fire. Amen. You understand that? You got that? Hold on. Just keep that in your thought there. Over in 2 Kings in the 7th chapter, 6th chapter, there's talking about a famine where donkey's head was sold for $63 and dove's dung was sold for $3. People's hungry. Hungry. Starving. No food. And the 7th chapter, verse 1, Elisha came on the scene and he prophesied. He said, tomorrow about this time, he said, shall fine flour be sold in the gate for 2 shekels and a measure of barley for 1 shekel in the gate of Samaria about this time tomorrow. And there was this man leaning on the king, or who the king leaned on, and he said, behold, if the Lord opened up windows in heaven, this thing might be. And Elisha turned back at him and he said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but you'll not taste it. You know what I'm saying to you this morning? Behold, on the road that's broad, that leads to destruction, you'll end up in the lake of fire. And you come back at me and you say, behold, I don't believe it. And I say, behold, you'll see the kingdom of God and the greatness, but you'll not be able to taste it. I give you word for all of it. Amen. Now there was these lepers sitting there. Read it when you get home. I don't want to go into all of it, but listen. There was these lepers sitting there, 4 lepers, outside the city. And they said, why sit here till we die? Amen. Why sit here till we die? Long story short, they got up. They would have died sitting there. They would have died. But they got up and they went to the Syrian camp. God worked a miracle and he made the noise of them little 4 boys going along as chariots and horses sound. And they all fled for their life and they came in and there was plenty to eat. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying that people is in that hurricane in the turmoil of their life. And all they got to do is get up and step out a little bit to the center of that thing where it's calm. Amen. Those men just got up and went out there. And it represents the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And there's people hungry and starving and dying in the world. Amen. And Jesus is the water that quenches our thirst and the bread that feeds our soul. Now that man, they went out there and they, long story short, they brought the food back. King sent some after they came back and told the king. They went and brought the food back. And the next day, just like the man of God prophesied, they were selling fine flour for 2 shekels and barley for 1 shekel in the gate of Samaria. And this man went out to see. And he got out there and he saw it. He saw it. But the people trampled him and he died. He didn't get the taste of it. Keep that thought in mind. You'll see it, but you won't be able to taste of what I'm telling you. Listen, of the goodness of God. Luke's gospel in the 16th chapter, the rich man came to himself when he was died. The Lazarus died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man died and being in hell lifted up his voice. And then he began to want to get mission minded. He said, go warn my brothers of this place. Go tell my brothers about this place. Don't come here. See, right, white throne judgment is a judgment of sinners. People who die on the Broadway lost. They'll come out of hell. My friend, just say that you die lost today. When you die, you'll be drugged by the demons into hell. But the white throne judgment, you'll be brought out before that judgment. And the books will be opened. Revelation, read it in Revelation, the 20th chapter about the white throne judgment. Said that the books will be opened. What books? The book of your life and this Bible right here. This book. Change it all they want to. But he said, my word is forever settled in heaven. He got the original up there. But look here. That book will be open, and the Lamb's book of life will be open. That's the books. And you'll be judged out of the books that is written there. Judged out of books of your life. The day you was born. All your entire life has been recorded. The day that you got witness to and you rejected God. The services you was in and you pushed God away. No, I don't want it. The times that you denied God. All your life. If you never accepted Jesus somewhere in there, you'll be there at that white throne judgment. And he'll get the Lamb's book of life down and he'll search for your name. And it will not be there because you never accepted him. And then he'll get the word of God there in Revelation 20 and 15 where I read earlier. Said, whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake which burneth with fire, which is the second death. And at that time, listen to me. At that time you'll realize something. In Luke's gospel, the 13th chapter, verse 24. Remember, the man was able to look on it, but not taste it. Remember, he says, strive to enter into the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drinking in thy presence, and thou hast taught our streets in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Then shall there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen to this. When ye see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. In other words, my friend, when you standing before that white throne judgment, listen to me close. And he says that your name is not found in the book of life. Your life, you never accepted Jesus. And the word of God is God. It's the king's word, and he can't go back on the king's word. He said, whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake with fire. But my friend, when you turn to be cast into the lake of fire, you're going to be allowed to look over into the promised land. You're going to see the streets of gold. You're going to see the walls of jasper. Come on. And the gates of pearl. You're going to see Abraham and Isaac. You're going to see old David Whitfield up there. You're going to see some of your loved ones. But my friend, you yourself can see it, but you'll not be able to taste it. Because you chose not to believe. You chose to sit there till you died. Now I want you to think about this. Let's come to Christmas. We talked about several things today. We talked about the two roads, the narrow and the broad. We talked about the righteous scarcely being saved. We talked about the narrow road that few that find it. The broad road that many go therein. We talked about Daniel. Talking about this judgment in the books. Where there was 100 million standing before him. And 1 million with him. What is the percentages of 1 million to 100 million? 1%. I call that few. I call the 99% many. I call it the broad road that 99% of the people choose to go opposite of God. 1%. Brother James, a preacher said, oh, don't worry. Just live any kind of way you want to. You can make it. Say, Brother David, you preach it too strict. Well, I tell you this. I might preach it too strict. I don't know. But at least you're on the straight and narrow. What if I preached it loose? Like they told my dad, man, you preach it too strong. You'll overshoot heaven. He said, I won't mind the walk back. I've given you scripture for everything I say. It's there. I can give you tons of others. Friend, I don't know where you stand with eternity, but you're deciding today. You're deciding today. Remember the man, I said at the very beginning, that died with his hand on his pocket right here, his shirt pocket? He didn't have time to get that nitroglycerin peel out of his pocket under his tongue. Could have saved him, maybe. I don't know. Oh, Brother Dave, when I know that I've missed my time, I'll get right. Will you? I heard the Bible say that you must come at an accepted time. Will God accept you then? He might be calling you today. Those people on 9/11, coming up on 9/11 again, 9/11 in New York, sitting there, you know, doing their business, and all of a sudden, this plane comes through the wall. Did they have time? Think about it. The man didn't have time to get a nitroglycerin. Was he thinking about God? He could have been right. I don't know. I'm not saying he's a sinner. I'm just saying he didn't have time then. What about that narrow road, Brother Dave? What if I give up this broad road? What'd I get? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Isaiah 26:3 said, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. Psalms 37:4 said, delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you your desires of your heart. Come on. David said, when I was young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. 13:19 said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, said that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Come on, man. How good is God? How good is God? He said in Psalms that he loads us daily with his benefits. And all this in heaven too. The psalmist said in Psalms 34:8, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. You need to taste him and see. How do you know how good God is until you taste him? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Remember the story of the talents? 5, 2, and 1. 5 made 5 more, made 10. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I have been faithful over a few things. Now make you ruler over many. Enter thy into the what? Joy of the Lord. Boy, that sounds better than a lake of fire. Torment, don't you? Destruction. The 2 made 2 more. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou've been faithful over a few things. Huh? Now thou enter in. I make you ruler over many. Enter thy in into the joy of the Lord. But the one that sat on it didn't do nothing. He took it from him. Gave it to the one with 10. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Cast the unprofitable servant out into the outer darkness where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what the wailing and gnashing of teeth? I know it's the pain and agony, but my friend, it's like missing a good deal. I could have been in the streets of gold. I could have gone to heaven. Oh God, I had every opportunity. I could have just accepted Jesus, but I didn't. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a minute, and I want you to respond. Either you'll be standing there, but if you don't move out, you'll be like them leper guys and just sit there and you'll die right there. But if you'll have enough in you this morning to step out and to go and come to the bread of life.